From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's a grab bag kind of day. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Well, hi, you two, the Petrases, plural, more than one Petras, Petrases. I understand we got a listener question about plurals. Specifically, more than one plural, plurals.
Fletcher, what an amazingly astute segue you just did.
I thought it was an intuitive segue as well, because he seemed to have divined, Ross, what we're going to be talking
about.
He
did. A pair of Petri. Yes.
Zach in Brooklyn wrote us a very brief email. Very brief. Zach is a man of few words. He says, "Don't know why this bugs me, but it does. Why is it pair of pants when it's one garment? Can you make this make any sense?"
There's a really fun answer to that. It's all over the net. And it says that pants were originally pantaloons. And they were consisted of two separate items, one for each leg. And then they were secured around the waist, which is a wonderful little etymology.
But probably not true, right? That can't be true.
Fletcher, there you go again. You're completely correct. It's wrong. Doesn't seem true at all.
I thought it was a nice idea. I like this idea of one pant and then the
other
too. Pant.
I like it. I know. I like it too. I wish it were true, actually.
It could be. It's just that there's no sources to back it up. So exactly. You never know. No, it's not. It's not the case. What it is Ross. Can you? There's a pants is a plurale.
Yes,
tantum,
very good.
Plurale tantum.
It's hard to pronounce the plurale part, but yes, you're right, Kathy.
Yeah, you want to do pru.
I know you do.
Plurale.
Yeah.
Plurale tantum, which means plural only, as in a noun used in the plural form only. So that's where you get like. Pants.
Or scissors.
Very good.
Very good, Fletcher. Or can you think of other ones?
You.
Yeah, think of other ones too, Fletcher.
Scissors. I guess glasses. I mean, you literally do have two glasses when you're wearing glasses, but I mean, it is one thing, right? You pick up your glasses.
Yeah.
I want to interject and just say one thing, though. Pants in fashion, in the fashion industry, I remember this went back in the long, long ago when I started as an assistant buyer. You said pant. Mm-hmm. You did say pant. You said like, "Ooh, that's a really nice pant."
I remember you saying that about fashion specifically. You don't really hear that anywhere else, though. That seems like one of those.
It's a very specific,
affectations for a specific jargon of the pant.
Of the business,
world,
yeah.
The fashion world.
Like the pant world.
On that level, I wonder if like the scissor manufacturing
Good question. Do they have their new line of scissor for the...
Yeah.
That's a very nice
hand
scissor
me the left
you have.
Scissor.
For,
yeah,
you know, that's a great scissor you got there, Lori. But, you know, scissor... You do say scissor for like a scissor kick, like as an adjective, singular.
Yes, you do. Very good, Kathy. That's right.
I just thought of that. And scissor as a verb.
Yep. You can scissor something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also pant as well. Sorry, that's not even funny.
Oh, sadly, I thought it was.
You know, though, just to go back to Zach's question, it's not just pants, but it's a pair of pants.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Which is interesting because you don't say a pair of scissors. You?
Yeah, you do. Sure, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You could. Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, though, scissors, I'm looking it up, did start out as a singular noun.
Yeah, it did in Middle English. Yeah.
And back to the Latin was a singular noun.
Yes.
For cutting instruments.
The
scissors, plural, became when they became, the two blades were joined and became what we call scissors now.
Right.
Very good, because the caesareum was a cutting instrument.
Kind of like a knife, right?
I think it was. I don't really know, but I think you're right, Kathy.
I don't know why I'm holding my finger like a knife.
Yeah, no, I think that is it. But it's interesting what Fletcher just said, a pair of pants. But you don't say, we have another plural word, clothes. But you don't say a pair of clothes at all.
Or a pair of glasses. Do you say pair of glasses?
Yeah. Yeah, people
say that. Yeah, pair of glasses, you do. But again, okay, no, with glasses, it's the same as
scissors.
As with scissors. Mm-hmm. It's right. Like that was the two different lenses.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It was a glass, and it became a pair of glasses is what you wore.
I mean, yep. I guess.
Exactly.
I guess it could be the same with pants. It's just, why would anybody ever have one pant?
Well, I can think of a reason, but it's, you know.
Yeah. I think you're
although,
right.
Although, like a pirate with a peg leg still wears a pair.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he folds up, but they always fold up the other leg, usually, as I recall.
Yeah.
I just said, as I recall, as if I've seen a pirate with a peg leg. But the other interesting thing is we have other plural verb nouns that don't have that, like riches, belongings, or earnings. They're almost always used plural.
Yeah, you don't talk about my belonging.
No, that sounds something like you want to belong somewhere. Yeah. You know, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. It mm-hmm. sounds like you don't say my riches. I mean, I never would say that because I'm not. I don't have many riches around. Yeah. Yeah.
You're rich. My rich.
Yeah, my rich. You don't say my earning. You say my earnings.
Right.
Which is interesting too. And then going to another one, outskirts. Apparently, there used to be a single outskirt, but no one really says that in modern English. But we don't, in none of those cases do we say a pair of.
No.
We just say the plural in that case.
Yeah.
So in effect, we have two different kinds of plurals. One kind, I think, is logical. The scissors, glasses, pair of, yeah. But the other kind isn't. One other thing I want to quickly point out, though, is it's very interesting. In many early Indo-European languages, including ancient Greek, there was a specific form which was called the dual. And you would have like singular, dual, and then plural. And you would have a different ending to show that you were talking about a dual thing.
About a two thing, yeah.
And I wonder if that pair of pants and all that is a relic of that. I have no idea, but I'm just sort of curious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of clothes now, because clothes comes from cloth, obviously.
Yes, it's exactly from cloth.
Yeah, but you don't, I mean, but it's always plural. And but you know, I guess so. It's really just my cloths then.
You just spoke great old English. That's the original word.
Mm-hmm.
It was the plural of cloth, and it was an article of clothing. But the new cloths came in, and they took a new plural form from that. And now, of course, we have clothes. So that but that the e ending you don't really need actually when you think about it.
Oh, they do have, I just looked it up, pants, and they do have a colloquial singular pant, but beginning in 1893. So there were people, so you would say colloquially pant.
Mm-hmm.
Get your pant.
I don't know if it was the fashion industry back then, too. It could have been. Your haberdasher
said also,
very nice pant.
It could also have just been people saying, hey, why do we have pants and not just a pant? Let's start calling it a pant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that goes into something really interesting. What about an older word that we don't use as much anymore, trousers?
Oh, sure.
Plural, too. And apparently it was originally a singular trouse. The plural ending, they tacked on things in pairs.
Hmm.
Which is interesting.
Hmm.
And then also drawers.
That's true.
We don't use that anymore.
Right.
But, you know, I just thought of that one.
Tweezers, I just saw. Now, tweezers. Do you say tweezer? Ever?
No.
Hand me the tweezer? No. But that's like scissors again, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You're going back to the...
I mean, I guess I don't know what tweeze originally meant, but you could have one scissor without the other scissor because each is a cutting implement. You couldn't tweeze without two of them.
No, but there was an early word tweeze, which was for a case of surgical instruments from the 1600s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... Wow, this is really, the plurals are getting more and more interesting as we go along here.
They're more than I realized, because initially I thought, they're like five.
Right.
You know I know what you mean. You think, then you're suddenly going on and on, tweezers, tweezes, and whatever. Yeah, no, it's really interesting.
Overalls.
Overalls.
You don't say overall.
That's true. No.
I'm putting on my overall. No.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
Well, Zach, see, it wasn't as quick as you thought, was it?
Overall was a over and then all things, but then it became a quick plural, which is interesting.
Yeah, overall is really a portmanteau.
A plural portmanteau. Wow. Here we go.
We're cooking with gas, as they say.
Well, enough of these, enough of these shenanigans.
Hey,
plural.
That's true. Very good.
But do people use the word shenanigans?
Oh, no one does.
Oh, yes. No,
do they?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they do. Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. So, have you ever heard of singular shenanigan?
No,
I don't think I ever have.
No, I've never
that's
heard.
Quite
of
a shenanigan.
Just one shenanigan.
Okay. Thank you, Zach. This was actually, it sounded like a much simpler question, and it ended up, we could go on, you realize, for a while.
Is it ever a simple question?
No, it's English.
Yeah.
Speaking of simple questions, I understand you guys have some for me in a little quiz mm-hmm. for today.
Yep. This is a grab bag quiz, grammar and words, etymology, grammar, and no entomology, no insects.
Oh,
here,
thank goodness.
We'll keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which of these words doesn't fit? The words are pound, nail, clock, and pet. Which does not fit?
Wow. Wow.
Let's repeat them again. Pound, nail, clock, and pet. This is a vocabulary aspect of our quiz here.
All right. I've mentioned before that I was sometimes actually kind of bad at standardized tests because I can often make a case for almost anything, say, mm-hmm. to fit together. This might get a little risque.
Okay.
But in one sense, clock might not fit
mm-hmm.
because the other three can be used regarding...
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh, interesting. I see where you're going.
Say... A physical affectionate activity.
Yes. I think that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
In another way, pet might not fit. Well, let's say nail might not fit because pound and clock and pet are all things you could do to somebody with your hands. Do you see what I mean?
Hunter, you're making this. I can see. I actually have that same problem. I used to have. I had to like learn how to take tests because I do the same thing you do. I go, this, that.
You see, I was great at them because I would go, boom, it's that.
I had to learn. I had to learn because I'm always like, it could also be this and that and whatever. And then it's always like a mishmash, okay? Let's look at this as simply as possible.
Yeah, I'm going to be really honest. I don't know what you're getting at with this.
Okay, this comes from Merriam-Webster quiz.
Okay.
And the answer they gave us was pet. They said, so you were right the first time, however, your reasoning was not their reasoning. Their reasoning was that pound, nail, and clock can all refer to physically hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Pet can be used to describe a gentle stroke.
Yeah.
Let's don't go to stroke now either. So go on.
I was going to say that, but I don't really hear nail as physically hitting something. I mean, like, I guess like if I throw something and I could nail something if I threw something at it, but I don't think of that with like my fist. Right. Whereas pet, it isn't physically hitting, but it is physically touching with my hand. So that's why I left.
Yeah.
That's why I left nail out. I mean, that's what I was getting at a few moments ago. I sort of see what they're saying, but I kind of disagree.
You know, as you were speaking very eloquently, because I actually am beginning to agree with you after we just perfunctorily put this one question in, but I do nailing him. On Google, I get hundreds of examples of crucifixion, nailing him to the cross.
Oh.
I don't get like nailing him, and I get your other meaning of nailing as well. I don't get...
Also, you're nailing someone in baseball.
Exactly.
You nailed, you know...
Yes,
yeah, that's
you're
what
right.
I thought.
Yes.
I mean, that
that's
could
good
be,
too.
Yeah, that could be two different things. You could have... the pitcher hit the batter with the ball,
yeah.
or he just, you know,
pegged
him out at first or something, you know.
Okay, so I think Fletcher, I think we're going to give Fletcher a
pass on
here.
That.
You at least
I,
have
I
to
think
give
the
me.
His is better.
Yeah, you got to give me a point for creativity at least.
Yes. Okay, let's move on to a grammar question instead. Maybe we can get him on this one.
Okay. What's wrong with this sentence? It's actually more challenging to catch a fish with a net than catching one with a fishing rod. Oh, you want to know which part is wrong? Okay. A,
yes.
It's, it apostrophe S, it is. B, More challenging, is that part wrong? Mm-hmm. C, is the word catching wrong? I will now read the sentence again just so people can have it back in their head. Mm-hmm. It's actually more challenging to catch a fish with a net than catching one with a fishing rod. Well, the catching is wrong. I would say than it is to catch one with a fishing rod. Because the
why?
More challenging refers to catch a fish. And so mm-hmm. you wouldn't say it's actually more challenging catching one with a fishing rod.
Okay.
If you want to know like a rule behind that, I can't tell you because I don't know those things. But I'm pretty confident that I would change that to say it's more challenging to catch a fish with a net than it is to catch one with a fishing rod.
It's a parallel construction. You got the answer correct in that sense. It's more challenging catching, but then it's to catch. And then we have then catching. So it should be, as you said, it's more challenging to catch a fish with a net than to catch one. You don't need the it is.
Right.
Than to catch one.
Okay, yeah.
You're paralleling the verb there.
Yeah.
Welcome to math.
That makes, yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah. Parallel construction
they're both
is what that's called. Okay.
Yeah, and they're both infinitives. To catch.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
You could switch the first one and say it's actually more challenging catching a fish with a net than catching one with a fishing rod. And then it would match, right?
Then it would match. That's
okay.
correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay. I gave you the next one.
All right. Which of these words is least like the others? Okay, we have spot, key, pickle, or jam. Spot, key, pickle, or jam. To me, I can think that you can be in three of those things, but not a key. You can be in a spot, which would be like a little mm-hmm. bit of trouble, a spot of trouble, maybe a pickle, which is also a bit of trouble, or a jam, which is also a bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So key, I would say, is the least like the others in that case.
You got it.
Yes.
You got it.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're doing pronunciation, as in you're saying it wrong.
And you chose a good word because I'm always not 100% sure. This is that little strip of land between two larger pieces of land.
Spell it out.
With water on both sides. Isthmus. I usually sort of slur it a little bit because I don't know if I'm just supposed to say isthmus or if I'm actually supposed to say isthmus. But I do think mm-hmm. I usually use the TH. I think I usually say isthmus just a little.
That would be wrong.
Okay.
You're saying it wrong.
So it's just isthmus?
Yes.
Yeah,
TH is silent.
Hmm.
There's another word that has a silent TH, another common one.
Asthma?
Yeah.
That turns into sort of a Z sound for us, asthma.
Asthma, it does.
This doesn't, it doesn't seem like. It's still an S, isthmus. Why is this? Why is the TH silent?
I think the etymology of it, I think the isthmus actually, no, it's from the Greek isthmos. That's right. I was thinking of that. And I don't know, actually. I'm just wondering if they ended up making it. It's from Latin isthmus, so I'm just wondering if they just shoved it in that way and then to make it sound good. But I don't know. I don't know, actually. I'm just checking. I do know that when it's coming up to be isthmus season.
That reminds me of Russell. When I was a guy, I used to love Spanky and our gang, and I think it was Stymie. And the teacher said, use isthmus in a sentence. And he said, isthmus be my lucky day.
I like that one a lot. That's good. I think it's just a pronunciation convention is what I think it is. It's difficult to pronounce, so we take it out. And then that
yeah, that's it.
Correct.
They say the original spelling with the TH was retained, but pronunciation just became to isthmus,
yeah.
like asthma. Yeah.
I mean, so basically it was hard to say, and so we stopped saying it that way, and now you guys won't let me say it that way.
No.
Well, actually, Fletcher, you can say it that way.
Thank you.
Don't listen to us. You pronounce things as you wish to pronounce them.
You could also pronounce Colonel Colonel
Thank
if you'd
you.
Like. There's no problem.
I've never wanted to, but now I have permission. All right, next up. I like hopping around with the mm-hmm. questions like this. Okay, which sentence is correct? All right, here are the two sentences. Neither one of us is capable of working tomorrow, or neither one of us are capable of working tomorrow. I would say is, and I also think is correct. I don't know if you're going to tell me that either one can be correct.
No, we're not.
Okay. So it's is.
You're right.
Because neither
correct.
Is.
The temptation with people is seeing the us and making it our. Sure. Our, not our, our. Ah.
Sure. But if I said both of us, then I could say are.
That is a typical hard question Fletcher asks.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing where I think you've told me in the past that you can say are, even though
Yeah, both of us would. I would say both of us are.
I would not say both of us is.
No, because both is a plural noun.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is what we're saying with neither is not either of the one is. Both of us are, because we're talking about two people automatically. With neither, we're saying not one, not the other. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a distinction there.
I gotcha.
That actually would have been a better way to do it, Kathy. We should have done neither of us is, both of us are. Although you instantly, as soon as you see that, you know, I hear both of us is as not being good. You
yeah,
know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
That does seem wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Neither one of us is or neither one of us are. I don't hear it instinctively as quickly, I think, as the both.
I have to read this to you because it's so bad. This is the AI, Google AI. Is that Gemini or something? Came up and it says both is always plural. Example, both of us are going to the party. Second example, the both children are happy.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. The both children are happy.
Well, you could say both is correct, maybe.
Could you?
All righty. Okay. Let's move along.
All right. Next one, etymology time. They want to know, the word juggernaut, does that come from Hindi, Dutch, Yiddish, or Japanese? I don't know whether it's because of how it looks or if I've read this somewhere before, but I think I'm going to say Hindi, even though I think it's something farther back than that, like a precursor to Hindi.
Well, yeah, in a way, yeah. It comes from a Europeans hearing, you know, Franciscans or I think other Europeans hearing Indians supposedly throwing themselves on the wheels of a massive carriage of Vishnu, who's also called Jagannath, which would probably be Sanskrit, Lord of the World.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not even sure they were throwing themselves under the wheels. It could have been just a European fabrication. But the point is they took Jagannath as the, and they transliterated it into Juggernaut. An unstoppable force
right.
just keeps on going.
Right.
So
yeah,
you're right.
I'm looking. It does come from the Sanskrit, yeah. From Jagat, the world, men and beasts, literally the moving, all that moves.
So we actually, when we said Hindi, I think what we really should have said is Sanskrit, but Hindi is the language that they were speaking when they, referred to it. So
when Europeans pulled it over, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I feel like I halfway knew something on that one. All right.
Okay, this next one, let's see.
Okay, let's see here what we've got. Oh, okay. You're going to have me tell you which of these sentences is correct. Grammatically, is that the right word here? Grammar? Are we talking grammar?
We're talking morphology, the word. Yeah, but we're talking grammar because we're talking about the part of a sentence, the case endings in a word. So we're talking grammar. Syntax, we're talking technically. But,
ooh. All right. We're getting too complicated for me now. After recording another stellar episode of You're Saying It Wrong, Fletcher went to the cocktail party and talked to who? Or... After recording another stellar episode of You're Saying It Wrong, Fletcher went to the cocktail party and talked to whom? Now, you're going to ask me which is correct, and the easy way for me to figure this out is to replace who or whom with he or him. So I would say, after recording another stellar episode of You're Saying It Wrong, Fletcher went to the cocktail party and talked to him, which means whom is the correct answer.
Right. Well, you're right.
Now, I personally pretty much ignore who and whom at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I may actually say whom in this case just because it sounds so obviously correct. But mm-hmm. for the most part, even when I'm writing, I pretty much ignore who and whom.
That's interesting. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed, I think what I find slightly distressing, I don't want to sound very pedantic on this one, is how many people say whom just because it sounds classy.
Yes.
Oh, they throw
and
it in.
And it's so wrong.
Yes.
And it's just, it does great on one. I think, though, that soon it's going to go by the wayside. I think that we're not going to really have any differentiation anymore. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. I do. And it's interesting because I agree with you. I tend to use whom fairly much, but fairly a fair amount. But listen to this one. Kathy, you talk to who? Kathy, you talk to whom? I would instantly say who there.
Oh, absolutely.
It sounds even more correct.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Kathy, you talk to whom sounds correct to me, but it sounds so insufferably stuffy that I can't handle it.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right. I think, though, that, yeah, we're really going who. We're, mm-hmm. I think the world's going who, yeah. except for when they want to sound clever and then they say whom incorrectly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And you know what? I think that's fine. I don't think there's really a problem with that changing. I know a lot of people who are listening right now are very angry at me saying that, but I think it's fine. I don't think there's any real issue with just dropping the whom and moving to who mm-hmm. on just about every case.
Oh, I still write it. I still write it, and I do say it in other contexts, too, like Kathy does. Okay, next word, pronunciation.
Ah, I have to pronounce this, I think, German word, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. Although this is a word that I think a lot of us are pretty familiar with at this point. It's just a matter of how hard you're going to nail me on the exact pronunciation. I think it is pronounced Schadenfreude.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And I guess we usually hear people say Schadenfreude, which I think is fine mm-hmm. as an American. Apologies yeah. to German speakers, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I think it's like croissant.
Croissant.
It's like
yeah.
it's okay.
Yeah. It
if
is.
You
yeah.
if you anglicize it. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Schadenfreude is such a great word.
Yes.
It is.
It really is.
Yes. I like it.
What does it literally translate to? Do you know? Because, of course, we know that German words are often made up of smaller German words, right? Sort of like, sort of like our old English words were.
Mm-hmm. It comes literally from Schaden, which is damage, harm, or injury.
Uh-huh.
And Freude, joy.
Okay.
So
yeah.
it's injury, joy, which makes complete sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. We're laughing at the misfortune of someone else.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. That's great.
I love this. In 1867, the example they have from Carlyle, who said the Schadenfreude, a mischief joy, the Germans call it, but really it is justice joy.
It is sort of, actually, yeah.
Well, that's usually why I don't think we're necessarily prone to take delight in the misfortune of others if they didn't deserve it, right?
Yeah,
of course,
it's true.
Yeah.
I also like this from old High German. It comes from the Fra, which is literally hopping for joy. You're frolicking about.
I love that. The next one is from the ACT practice test. The next two, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the first one I have a slight issue with. Let's read it and see.
Okay. In the following sentence, what should be done with the word largest? Okay, here's the sentence. The two principal types of kayaks are the easily maneuverable whitewater kayak and the largest sea kayak. Okay, well, this is another one of those problems I have with standardized tests. So they want to know.
This is my problem too, Fletcher. I'm going to go with you on this. Go on.
Yeah, they want to know what should be done with the word largest. I'll read it again. The two principal types of kayaks are the easily maneuverable whitewater kayak and the largest sea kayak. All right. My options are don't change anything. Change largest to very biggest. Change largest to more large. Or change largest to larger. I'm going to read it with that last one in there. The two principal types of kayaks are the easily maneuverable whitewater kayak and the larger sea kayak. I suspect they want me to do that. I
yes.
can make an easy argument that there should be no change. Because I
make that argument because I agree with you on this one. I'll tell you why I do, but go on.
Well, there could be multiple kinds of sea kayaks, and they're saying that the largest one is one of the two principal types. They're not saying the only types of kayaks.
Precisely. That's exactly what I went through.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. You have they have the whitewater kayak, the mid-level, calm water kayak.
Right.
Then they have, they have a whole bunch, but the two principal ones they sell are the whitewater one and the largest sea kayak.
Right. The largest sea kayak. Those others, they exist, but people don't use them much, so they're not principal types. But,
yeah.
Yep. ACT, get it together.
I agree completely. But the technical thing that they're saying basically is you do a comparative. It technically should be, it's a comparative. So you're comparing two and it's the ER. Mm-hmm. And then the superlative is the if two things are being compared, it's only the ER can be used. But I agree with what you're saying too completely.
I mean, they easily could have fixed that by just taking out the word principal. It may not be true. There may be other kinds of kayaks, but at least to fix the sentence, they could have taken out the word principal. The two types of kayaks are this one and the larger one.
And the larger one. Right. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Okay, ACT. We'll see if you do any better this time. Ha ha. What should be done with the phrase makes them in this sentence? The Navajo language is complex, with a structure and sounds that makes them unintelligible to anyone without extensive exposure to it.
That's really... Read it again. Yes. That's a complex sentence.
I will. The Navajo language is complex, with a structure and sounds that makes them unintelligible to anyone without extensive exposure to it. So the way the sentence is written, it makes it sound like we're saying the Navajo language, I mean, makes them refers to the Navajo language, which doesn't make any sense.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
So we could not change it at all, which I would absolutely change that. You could change it to makes it with a structure and sounds that makes it. Well, that wouldn't work because structure and sounds are more than one thing. We want with a structure and sound that make it unintelligible to anyone without extensive exposure, because the structure
precisely.
And sounds, yeah, the structure and sounds make and it refers to the Navajo language.
Yep.
Right.
You got it. Perfect.
Woo. Verb and subject agreed then, and pronoun matches the noun.
Yeah.
So
very good.
Nicely done, Fletcher.
Thank you. Oh, and one more from the ACT.
Yes.
All right. What should be done with a person in this sentence? All right. Opening a sealed tomb is like a person uncovering buried treasure. Opening a sealed tomb is like a person uncovering buried treasure. What should be done with a person? No change. Someone. Let's read it with someone. Opening a sealed tomb is like someone uncovering buried treasure. We could also use the phrase a potter.
Why did we put a potter in there, Kat?
I don't know, but it's cute.
Yeah.
Opening a sealed tomb is like a potter uncovering buried treasure.
I think you did that, Ross.
I think I was thinking, my wife collects like old stoneware, and I think I just put that in. It's from the ACT, but I changed it a tiny bit. I think I put potter in. She was talking about stoneware pots, and I think I just automatically typed in potter. Okay, like an archaeologist, let's say. I mean, like a pirate, I mean. Let's say a pirate.
Yeah. Or I could just get rid of a person and say opening a sealed tomb is like uncovering buried treasure. And that's what I'd do. I'd just get rid of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why?
Because there is not anything doing the opening at the beginning. And so I'm just making that look like the other one.
Fletcher, you're bound for Harvard. That's very good. Right.
Who's paying his tuition, Ross?
He's going to get a scholarship at this point.
Oh!
A grammar scholarship. You got it, Fletcher. You're right. It's a parallel construction here like we had earlier. Opening and uncovering. So very good.
All right. And now, pronunciation time again. Read this sentence. And since you said read this sentence, I am paying close attention to it. Had I not been, and I were just reading this out loud, I might actually mess it up. Anyway, the artist was promised generous remuneration for the commission.
Yay!
But I might very well at least stumble on remuneration, if not outright mispronounce it remuneration, when if I had just been reading that out loud and it had been in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us would actually. There are those who are that. Yeah, and we found that remuneration was listed. There was a study conducted by a British institute, and they found it was among the top 10 hardest words to pronounce. And then another thing, it was a voicemail to text conversion, a text conversion company, said it was the third most commonly mispronounced word. Which makes sense, because I would say remuneration, without thinking, I think.
You said remuneration, not you said you.
That's
didn't
what
say
I'm saying. That's what I would say. I would pronounce it incorrectly.
No, no, but you put an N there. You said remuneration. You switched the M and the N. It's remuneration.
Right. It's remuneration. And I would say remuneration.
They're saying remuneration.
Right.
What you're
saying. Most people switch the M and the N.
Wow. Oh, I thought the problem was the U, the remuneration U. That's what
I
thought.
No, the problem is you think number.
Wow. Of course. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of money. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're getting riches to harken back to our earlier, or earnings, plural.
Earning. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of earning. But the thing is, though, is it came from, the root of the word is munis, like as in municipal.
Yep.
Oh,
which is where you get the mune.
Sure.
Exactly.
Sure, okay.
It means gift in Latin.
It's almost like there's a reason that the word is that way.
But I think it should be remuneration, personally. If we're getting rid of home, we can get rid of remuneration and make it remuneration.
And if we're going to change isthmus to isthmus just because it's hard to say, let's just switch it.
Right. Yeah, why not? Exactly.
This is where I go back to Noah Webster, who is my guy. Yeah, it was all for Noah Webster.
Okay. This is, okay, Fletcher, read it.
All right, I'm going to read this the way it's written, and don't start yelling yet, Kansans, okay? All right.
Okay.
This is how it's written. This is from an eighth grade test given in Salinas, Kansas, back in 1895 that was reprinted in the New Republic. One of the grammar questions. Here's the grammar question. What are the principal parts of a verb? Give principal parts of do, lie, lay, and run. Now, second part first, I have no idea. I don't know what principal parts of a verb are. But regarding the first sentence, this is from an eighth grade test given in Salinas, Kansas, back in 1895. I don't know if there ever used to be a Salinas, Kansas, but there is no Salinas, Kansas now. Not only that, there is a town in Kansas, a city in Kansas, without the S on the end, that you might think is pronounced Selena, but it is not. It is pronounced Salina. Not only that, Salina, the city, is in the county of Saline.
Holy cow!
Wow.
Okay. Well, the New Republic, I have an axe to grind with you, a bone to pick.
Why don't you tell me about the principal parts of a verb, though, just so I can
learn basically something. In grammar, we have present tense, present participle, past tense, and past participle.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So let's handhold you and go through.
Thank you.
To do. Let's do okay. Do.
Do, present tense, do, past tense,
right.
Did.
Right.
Present participle. I don't know. I don't know what a
doing?
Oh, right, doing.
So are you done now, Fletcher? What about past participle?
I am done. Wait, what's that one? That's a past participle?
Yes.
Correct.
Exactly.
Okay.
Running out of time.
Yeah, we are running
out of time. Okay, so we're running out of time, so let's do the last one. Run. Let's do
run.
That, Fletcher.
Run, ran, running, ran? Ran
run.
Run, run.
I had run.
I had run.
Yes, you got it.
And the final pronunciation, just because I want to hear Ross blow it.
Oh, no.
Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, no.
All right, Ross, can you pronounce this word?
Now, this one, Kathy noted this, that I get, we used to drive a lot down to New York City, mm-hmm. and we went through a place called Schenectady.
Uh-huh, which is harder to say than this word is.
It is. And I've studied ancient Greek for many, many years, and this is an ancient Greek word. So Kathy always laughs at my pronunciation. Let me try it right now so I can get it right. Synecdoche.
Hey,
is
there
that
you
right?
Go. You did it.
Correct. Synecdoche. Yeah.
Synecdoche.
Yeah. Synecdoche.
What I do a lot of times is I do the sk in there for Schenectady, and then a lot of other times I do the synecdoche because of the...
He does a ch.
The ch because of the Greek. It's just a mess. I kept saying it over and over as Kathy was yelling at me on Friday. So I think
was,
I finally
I was
got
yelling.
It. I finally got
I
it in my head.
I beat into your head, Ross.
Yeah. Then meanwhile, I was doing it, and then my wife came in and goes, it's not Schenectady, it's Schenectady. I said, I'm not talking about the city.
Well, I've told you both before that there's a movie called Schenectady, New York, and I always get corrected by people who think, they're like, oh, no, it's Schenectady. It's like, oh, thank you. No, it's not.
No, it's untight.
<'cause>
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.